Hi there, it's Liz. Today I'm handing the mic over to someone special, my son Landon. These folk tales you're about to hear were passed down to all of us from my mom, Landon's grandmother. And there's something about hearing them in his voice that keeps her spirit right in the room with us. So settle in and let Landon take you somewhere far away.
Hi, I'm Landon. 50 years ago, my grandmother, Elizabeth A. Szabo, sat down and translated these Hungarian folktales from her native language into English, stories she loved and wanted to make sure they weren't lost. Back then, there was no easy way to share them beyond the pages she wrote them on. Today, we finally have the tools to bring her words to life the way they were always meant to be heard, out loud, as stories told to family. Now her grandchildren and great-grandchildren get to hear these stories too, right alongside all of our listeners. This is one of those tales, translated by my grandmother and read in honor of her memory. The Committee from Ratot. One fine day, as the king's carriage was passing through the village of Ratot, the wheel rolled off. The wheelwright was called to fix the wheel, and, in the meantime, the king and his aides went to have breakfast. While the wheelwright was looking for the lost wheel, the village clerk and the judge came ambling down the road.
"What are you looking for?" asked the judge.
"The wheel to the king's carriage," he explained. "It fell off."
"The king?" the judge and clerk said excitedly.
"No," frowned the wheelwright. "The king's wheel. That's the trouble with wheels.
There's trouble if there's one too few, but with one too many, what do you do? Wheels, wheels, wheels," he kept saying to himself over and over again.
The clerk and the judge, however, were so excited about having the king in their village that they were busy making plans.
"Where is the king now?" asked the judge.
"He's over in my house with his aides having breakfast."
"Indeed," said the clerk, writing something in his little book.
"My wife is making him rolled pancakes with plum jam," added the wheelwright.
"Oh," said the clerk, looking at the judge and writing that down.
"Quickly," said the judge. "We'd better hurry."
The judge and the secretary rounded up the other men who would serve as a committee to greet the king to their fair village. They all met at the meeting hall.
"Now," began the judge, "the king is having breakfast at Duque's house, and as yet no one from the village of Ratot has greeted him officially. It is our duty to take this task upon ourselves."
The miller, who was a little deaf, spoke up.
"I think that's a fine idea. You are perfectly right that we should take the king a watermelon."
"What a stupid idea," scoffed the clerk. "The king doesn't need a melon. Why, what we should take him is a barrel of good homemade Ratot palinka."
"That's a terrible idea," shouted the cantor. "What an impression we would get. Our lovely town would have a bad reputation if we did that."
"Well, if you're so brilliant," called out the shoemaker, "come up with a better idea."
They suggested first one thing and then another. They mentioned wine, flour, a roasted pig, a garland, and beads. Finally, the judge settled the matter.
"We will take plums."
The miller was shaking his head no.
"I still think we should take a melon. After all, a melon is still a melon. It's round, it shows well, it's heavy, and in addition to all that, it's sweet. But plums? Bah!" he scoffed.
"Plums it will be," insisted the judge.
7 round baskets of plums, and each of us will carry one." There was a basket for each the judge, the priest, the village clerk, the cantor, the shoemaker, the miller, and the smith. And in that order, they stood in a line, one behind the other. The mission had begun, and they were going to greet the king on the occasion of his visit to the village of Ratot.
"Please," commanded the judge, who was at the head of the line, "you will do exactly as I do, and there will be no mistakes. Agreed?"
The other 6 nodded a yes, and they began. Although it was only a short distance to the Duque's house, they followed the judge perfectly, looking very much like a row of geese. As they approached the house, the judge motioned them with a halt.
"We are here. Remember now, do everything I do, and don't go wrong."
Unfortunately, the judge forgot about the 3 steps that led down into the Duque's house. He took 1 big step, landed on his stomach, bumped his nose on the floor, and the basket and plums went flying toward the king, who was still peacefully eating his breakfast. And, without hesitation, came the other 6, in perfect order, following the judge exactly. They each took 1 big step,
fell on their stomachs, bumped their nose in the floor, and their baskets of plums flying toward the king. King Matthias and his aides were wide-eyed watching the spectacle. The judge, in the meantime, was so embarrassed and afraid before the king that he didn't move. Neither did the other six. There they were, piled up in twos, one on top of the other, waiting for the judge to move. But he didn't. The judge was waiting quietly for a word of pardon from the king. Instead of a word of pardon, the king and his aides quickly gathered the plums from under their feet and began hurling them at the committee from Ratot. Plums were flying through the air like a storm of bullets. The committee hardly knew where to hold their heads. Quickly, the judge scrambled to his feet, and the other six followed him out the door without looking back. They could hear the king and his men howling with delight as they left. When they reached the meeting hall, all of them in a rather sorry condition, they began cleaning up. Some had red spots, some had lilac, and some had purple plum skin stuck to them. It was obvious what mission the committee from Ratot had been carrying out. The judge pulled out a plum seed from his hair. The shoemaker found one in his shirt. The cantor wiped himself clean and was the first to speak.
"Your Honor, Judge, I apologize. You really had good sense in suggesting plums as a gift for the king. Just imagine what a mess we would have been if they had been throwing melons at us instead."
The end. Thank you for joining us for today's Hungarian folktale. This is Landon signing off.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with someone you know who loves their Hungarian heritage so they can join in on the fun too.